whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
The hitting is extra hard this week on Primetime.
Oh, he gets walloped!
This is a wild card week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com.
Wild Card Week with Isaac and Sue on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Oh, and he took a hard hit. Hello.
The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What's up? Good Tuesday.
I just love the extra hard hitting.
That's right.
It's getting me every time.
Who do you think writes that?
I don't know, but I just love the idea of it's extra hard hitting.
This is our poll question.
It's wild card.
It can only be one of two people.
Well, I think it's one of three, although you have revealed that it wasn't you.
It was
you.
Not me.
But initially, it could have been, we thought maybe it could have been you.
Yeah.
So it would be either Ryan Buckley, Jason Swigard, or Jeff Baton Rouge.
I like Swigard on that one. Although, you know, that is an old school, let's get extra hard.
I'm going to go with Jeff.
I could see Jeff Baton Rouge writing that.
He's old school.
Yeah, that sounds like some old school copy.
I don't think Swag does stuff for our show.
I think Swag does stuff for everybody.
Does he?
Well, I believe
Here's the situation.
He claims to be executive producer of the station. Not a show of
I think
the
it'd
station.
Be cool to have an executive producer, and if we do, I didn't know that.
Well,
yeah, we do. He is that.
Yeah.
So wait, our show, which has been on the air for the better part of 17 years.
Well, I don't think he's been an executive producer this whole time.
Okay, but I'm just saying we're a long-running show.
Yes.
You would think we would know if we had an executive producer.
Yeah.
Yet this is news to me.
Yeah, we have an executive producer.
We have an executive producer.
Yes.
What does he do for
us? No one knows. Much like in Hollywood, whenever you see a movie and it's like, hey, executive produced by, no one really knows what that means. It's just, it's a title. I think Swag just claimed it and no one, much like when he took that office, no one really checked him. I think he just claimed to be the executive producer because he writes copy and stuff like that. Therefore, he feels like he gets executive producer credit. So,
okay.
You know,
hold on, everybody.
And no one really
cares enough to question it.
Well, I mean, what's the question? I don't know.
Exactly.
Call yourself whatever you want.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you see someone get a promotion, like the raise is like a nickel an hour, but you get some sort of new title and you're like, I got a title.
Well, titles can help if you're a ladder climber.
Yeah, if you're trying to.
Titles help you.
You see that in football where someone gets named. Like, they want to be the run game coordinator, or then you want to be the associate head coach. You got to put something on the old CV to make you look pretty good. And Swag's got like 19 jobs, so I don't know why he wants to keep building that resume. He's not going anywhere. He's going to be buried here, but he gets to claim to be executive producer.
The open sounds like a Jeff thing.
Yeah. Extra hard hitting, we're ready to go.
Because Jeff still throws in the tackle noises.
Manly mirror noises. Arr.
We're all high T here.
Taylor Swift, damn, she's
pirate.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why the turned into an R, but it did.
Sports radio's got to be high T.
I just love high T individuals
for men.
In general. That guy that just walks around the entire time, and I'm like, you ever have a conversation with that guy?
Beer, man!
And you just ask him, dude, does it just get exhausting? Like trying
to
be
him.
Badass.
He's all high T. He doesn't know what to do with him.
Like, do you ever turn it off? Do you ever just get to dial it down just like three notches and? Like, you know, go enjoy like a Broadway show or like go see Wicked or something. You're like, no, it's not manly enough.
Well, somebody wants
trucks, balls, yeah. Truck. Get some truck nuts on there. Yeah.
Somebody on the text line
flags!
Wants to know how our town hall meeting went. And I do have an announcement to make.
Yeah, we do have an announcement. We should have announced it yesterday, but we did not.
Well, it's not that important. Much like Swigard being our executive producer.
Yeah.
Or is that what it is? Executive?
He is our executive producer.
It's over!
We have a new fearless leader here at Odyssey Portland in his name.
Market manager, if
Ryan Cooley.
Yay!
Now, Ryan Cooley has been on our airwaves before. He's a little guy, but he packs a big punch.
Well,
and
now
he's been here for years. Well, he left to go to Boston for a while, and now he's back.
Yeah.
And he's a New York, LA guy, kind of a front runner fan.
Yeah, he's a big Yankee guy for, you know, whatever. He's our resident Yankee honk.
But he does like the Giants, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Of football.
Yeah, the New York football Giants. Yeah.
So he's our new leader. Kim left, and yes. Ryan has been promoted, yes. And the regional guy was here, and I think his name's Doug. And
Doug Abernathy.
There was a big town hall, and everybody voiced their displeasure with.
Yeah, they did the God all in what. Favor, all opposed, and it
did
didn't matter anyways, and so. Doug promoted.
Were you there? Did anybody go to the Buckley?
Did you
meeting?
Ask if it was like at 10 a.m.?
Yeah, that's way early. You're sleeping.
Yeah, that's not happening.
No.
No. But I did walk in. They were, when I walked in yesterday, they were in the big boardroom, and I stuck my head in and I said, hey,
well, wait,
congratulations.
How many, we can have a town hall in our boardroom?
No,
is that
no,
how?
No, there was a post town hall boardroom meeting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, only for the select elites.
More exclusive
yeah.
than the town hall.
Yeah.
So the suits. Cooley's now a suit.
It's Cooley, a couple salespeople,
an Odyssey
and then,
station.
You know, Big Doug. And I just stuck my head in and
Dougie,
I said, hey.
Dougie, Doug, Doug.
I said, hey, just want you to know. Love you. Congratulations. And then, you know, and that was a little weird because, like, Doug's kind of in charge of everything, but I got the sense that I shouldn't be in there. So then I just kind of ducked out. But I did offer my congratulations.
Well, it's well deserved. I mean, yes. I sent him a text. You know, he's going to be a good leader for us.
Dude, Cooley's a great guy. Yeah. He's been here forever.
And you know, the thing about here when you battle the FMs, because for the longest time you and I have been around a long time, so
oh, yeah.
we know the vicious cockfight that happens internally between the FM music stations, which traditionally in the business have been deemed more important because they used to make more money.
Not so
they
fast.
No longer do.
I remember once, years and years ago, we beat one of the mighty FM stations here, which was kind of a big deal, the station was, and we beat them for the first time, and we thought we were going to get like a big congratulatory, like, way to go. Nay. Because the guy that was in charge of everything ran
Clark Ryan.
Ran said station, and we did not get an attaboy.
Yeah.
No, no, no.
A lot of internal competitiveness.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's good.
Yeah.
But anyway, what was I saying?
You're talking about working with the FM and Cooley and fighting for us. And...
Yeah, so I don't know if this is even a thing anymore, but I'm conditioned to really want a leader who is sports friendly, who, yes. is a, who is a fan of the fan, who actually listens to the fan. Because we've had some that hadn't.
Yeah.
And that can be a problem
sure.
because the fan gets kind of lost in the shuffle amongst the FMs. But Cooley is a P1 of the fan.
Yes.
And I love that. And he's been here for... I mean, again, he left for a while, but he came back. He's been in the business for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. It's his time. It's his time to shine. And
someone's asking, another Lush? Absolutely. He's a great drinker.
Big time drinker.
Yeah, which is fantastic.
And
you might remember him from such primetime episodes as the sales yeah. staff comes in loaded.
Yeah, I mean, Kim gets all the
flack. One that was requested to be pulled from the website.
Yes, that did have to get pulled.
That was a thing.
Yeah.
Kim gets all the flack for that, and so does sales bro Kurt.
Yeah.
Ryan Cooley is right there with them
and
both.
He went on the air and was, yeah. you know, he's spouting off sports opinions.
Long-time partner in crime with those other two.
Yeah. And it's mainly because, I think, largely because he has two little kids.
Yeah.
And he doesn't ever want to go home.
No. Well, that's what I say about sales bro Kurt, is that he hates his life, therefore he just stays here and drinks. And by the way, not only did I congratulate Cooley on his ascension, but of course that leaves... Cooley's old position as sales manager open.
Yeah.
So I went over to sales bro Kurt, who I think might be in line, and I just let him know that if you do get promoted, I will still show you absolutely no respect whatsoever. I just wanted that established, that I will still treat him like crap, regardless of his position in the company.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I won't treat anybody any differently. I can't say I treat him like crap, but, you know, I like to ignore him from time to time.
Yeah, that's fun.
But, yeah, Ryan Cooley, former linebacker at Lewis and Clark.
Which is just...
Is that accurate?
That's
yeah,
accurate.
He played linebacker at Lewis
and Clark. You might have had me with DB. Linebacker?
Yeah. Well, he's a little stocky.
Yeah.
You know, he's 5'2".
I guess.
But, well, back in the day, you know, he may have, you know, may have sauced up a little bit. You don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you look at like Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart was an all SEC safety at one
That's
point.
Right.
Look at him now.
Nick Saban was a DB.
Yeah, you know. Cooley was...
Yeah, they weren't linebackers.
Yeah, he's like Brett Haberle is out there. You know, he's like their Rudy at Lewis and Clark.
Dude, it's Lewis and Clark.
And can I... Exactly. I
think
don't
you
could have
played there.
I'm
Probably
not
could've.
Here to disparage small football. But it's Lewis and Clark. And as I've stated many, many times...
Great school.
If you would like to go play college football and you can write a check, you can go play college football. There's this idea that you have to be good to get on a college team. No, you don't. You just have to be willing to write a check and show up. And if you do that, you too can play college football.
We should get him in here. See what his highlights.
Talk about the olden days.
See what his highlights were.
Someone said, as a Lewis and Clark alum right now, I'm filled with pride.
Yeah.
Go Cooley.
Yeah. Ryan Cooley.
I think he's got a helmet somewhere or like an old jersey.
I guarantee you he does. He's right next to his number one dad mug.
He's got a game ball in the den.
Talks about that knee that he still drags from time to time. You know. God.
He had a suit on yesterday.
I know. It was a little weird.
Stepping his game up.
I wasn't certain what to do when I saw him in a suit. Like, when you see someone like that and he's in a suit, you're like, whoa.
You know, it is odd. Like, well, not to mention other names around town, but there are other... It's funny, like, you know you're old when all the people that you came up working with...
Mm-hmm.
Are all in charge now.
Yeah. Well, I remember when Cooley got hired, he was like 12 years old, and he had a curly little white man afro, and he looked like Corey from Boy Meets World. So I called him Topanga for like the first year because I couldn't remember his name. That guy's now in charge of everything.
Yeah.
It's the damnedest thing.
It really is.
I know.
What a world.
It's like when you meet your buddy's kid, like, and that kid's now like a doctor or something. One of my best friends, his son is now like a big to-do attorney, and it throws me for a loop. Like, you see him now, and I'm just like, what's up, counselor? And I'm like, dude, I've known you since you were like 6 years old, and now you're out there lawyering.
Are you like most adults, and you still don't quite, you can't quite see them actually being good at that because you see them as a child?
No, no. Like, when I see them now, it just makes me feel old, but I'm usually just in awe of them because I feel like they're, it probably goes the other way. I maybe think that they're better than they are. Like, if I knew you as a kid and you have a job, I just assume you're really good at it. In reality, probably half those kids that I know are idiots like everyone else, but I assume, I'm like, oh my God, you made something of yourself. Like, you have a job, you have a real job. I'm like, oh, that's amazing.
Well, no one wants to hire the Gen Zers now.
No.
You know,
no.
They're getting raked over the coals.
Well,
lazy little bitches.
Lazy little bitches.
And the other weird one is,
they complain.
My buddy's kid that's a lawyer, he was always like a Terminator. I thought that, I used to call him Senator because I thought he would be a political guy. But my son's best friend growing up was just this little tiny thing. And I, like, it was one of those kids that I had no idea what he was going to do. He's like a, what are the smoke jumper guys? The woodland firefighters. Like, what do you call those guys? Like, I don't know. He's a, he fights wildfires.
No.
He's a firefighter, but like in outdoors. And he's like 6'3" now, and he's got like two kids. And he's like this street, like where, like he's like this strapping, like country, like he's like Big John from the song. And that's the one that throws me.
On fire emojis.
I'm just like, oh my gosh. He like jumps out of airplanes, like helicopters in the middle of like forest fires. And he's like.
And you knew him when?
Yeah. And that's the one that like where it's.
You were the one that told him he would amount to nothing.
I just never knew what he was going to do.
And now look.
Now look at him. He's like a man's man. And I'm like, oh my gosh. It's weird. Yeah.
Well, congratulations to our new fearless leader, Ryan Cooley.
Yes.
He will lead us into the golden age of radio. Oh, wait.
The golden age of AM radio. Hot shots. That's what I was looking for.
Hopefully he has good ideas.
I think so.
I hear big things on the horizon for the fans.
I have concepts of a plan.
He does have concepts of a plan. I think he's going to buy Greenland. I think that's his... That's his big idea.
We're moving to Greenland.
We are. And then we're going to merge this radio station with Canada. That's the new big...
Rename it the Gulf of Odyssey.
The new big plan. It involves canals as well. Lots of big stuff happening in 2025.
Azerasians.
Oh, yes, the Azerasians.
Well, you want to get started?
Not really, but let's do it
with
anyways.
The show. Yeah. Got a big show today.
Do we? It's hard hitting.
Yeah.
Arr.
I'm going to do the... I always laugh when football player, and I get it, football is super high T, but you know, they do that, like, guy will literally, he cannot control himself. He is so high T that he just does the primal scream at the top of his lungs, flexing every muscle in his body for like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
That one always gets me.
I'm telling you, I see it now. They're so overcome after they hit somebody else, yeah. They start hitting themselves
yeah,
on the head.
On the
it's
head.
Crazy.
Or then they headbutt each other.
Who was it? Chuck Cecil, who was a... He was a safety, a long time for the Cardinals. Really good NFL player. I believe now he is the secondary coach or D coordinator at Arizona. And there is a clip from him this year. And he's like 55. And he's going around before a game. And he's so fired up to coach in the game, he starts headbutting his players who are wearing helmets. Mm. And I don't know if you know this about coaches, they don't wear helmets. So before you know it, yeah, he's just bleeding. You're like, Chuck, my man. Like, what do we?
It's so funny.
The stitches. Don't do that. Just again, just you're coaching. Dial it back. Like 3-4 slots.
All right, we'll hit our poll question next on the Fan. A couple of quick texts about our new leader, Dr. Cooley, PhD, radio man. Somebody said, can he fix the Odyssey app? The answer to that is no.
No, that's so far above his pay grade.
Yeah, that's corporate. Yeah. And let me tell you something. Yeah. They don't know what they're doing. He has no, he will have no control over
no.
that.
No.
An Odyssey station.
He's saying you have to deal
morning.
With.
I thought it was great.
Well, that's the thing about, what?
I used the app this morning. Thought it was great.
Yeah, no, it sucks. But he took over. And the problem with that job is, you know, it's like you can have all these good people and they know what they're doing and they're smart, but then you have corporate.
Yeah.
And they just, it's like a force working against you.
Yeah.
And that's really, that's the job. You have to navigate that.
It's like working in the government. You got a lot of good concepts of plans, but you're just, right. There's a lot of things stacked against you.
I have concepts of a plan.
Somebody else said, hopefully, Cooley, you're going to get some balls and make these guys work and do a good job for once.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Doubtful.
The second he starts fiddling with us is the second I'm out of here.
Cooley doesn't really seem like a leg up Ian Furness sort of fella.
Well, we'll find out. You never know.
Well, what
once power gets...
Yeah, what if he comes in, man?
Just he's taking that...
In what ways do you think he would fiddle with you guys?
I don't know. Maybe starts add wearing... a third person to the show.
Whoa.
Oh, a lady, perhaps?
No, Jack Collinsworth.
I wonder what Joy Taylor is up to.
Oh, a Jack Collinsworth.
Add Jack Cooley,
is Cooley's kid old enough?
Up profile. Yeah, Cooley's kid. He's like 11. He was in here the other day watching cartoons.
There you go. Throw him in here. Couldn't be any worse
Look,
than...
I want to give this guy a shot.
couldn't be any worse than Collinsworth, kid.
I feel like he's got some potential, guys.
Well, that Collinsworth, the Jack, right?
He's and like, Rob, I'm going to have him host, so why don't you just slide just over? Slide.
You would be all over that. Are you kidding me? It'd be the greatest thing
Dude,
in the world.
If they don't cut my pay, that's great.
Rob's like, I'm in.
Let the little man host.
I'm in.
Yeah. See what he's got. Well, anyway, I don't know. What's going on? Poll question?
Polls, yeah. Do you have a poll? Do you have
you
concepts
want some poll?
Of a poll? Yeah, give me some poll.
Yeah, I have a poll.
All right.
I just put it up there. I audibled today.
Okay.
I was going to ask you guys about Super Bowl matchup, but we'll have time to do that.
Right? Omaha! Omaha!
We don't need to do that yet.
Red panties.
Plus, I was looking at a list of the...
Hey, Red Danny! Red Danny!
You know, we need content.
Mm-hmm.
You got to churn out content.
We do need content.
You know?
Yeah.
Internet.
Yes.
You and I don't need content. We'll just bullsh, you know? But, you know, online, you get paid by Yahoo Sports or whomever. You got to put out, you got to churn it out, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Corporate's watching.
Yeah, baby.
Corporate needs the dollar.
Got to get those clicks.
Well, some guy from Yahoo ranked all 49 potential Super Bowl matchups.
Oh my
he ranked
God.
Them 49
Why?
Down to 1. Because you need content.
Yes.
Everyone loves them. A good list.
Well, you read it.
Well, I did. And actually kind of liked it. Although, I totally disagree with him on the worst Super Bowl matchup.
Okay.
Number 49. Do you care to guess what he had at number 49, this
the
guy here?
The worst Super Bowl... I got to pull up the... Let me pull up my brackets here. The worst Super Bowl matchup that we could get... gosh, I'm going to say
he ranked it 43rd out of the 49 possibilities.
I'm going to say Texans and
that's what I had.
I'm going to probably say Texans Bucks.
Yes. That's exactly what I thought
would be the worst.
That is not the worst according to him.
Okay. Then he might go with,
he went with an actual good matchup.
Did he really?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, it's probably not going to be the Super Bowl, but
did he go like Chargers, yep. Rams?
He went Chargers, Packers. And that, I'm like, well, that's
what?
That's not a terrible matchup.
So the Packers, who were one of the storied franchises in NFL history, the franchise to start the NFL, you have a young up and coming star in Jordan Love. Why would that be a terrible?
I don't know. That's what he ranked.
Huh.
But anyway, at the top, to spare
it's,
you.
It's clearly Texans Bucks is the worst.
Well, that's what I thought. Yeah, it's, but it's not that's close. Not what he put
the
put last.
The best should be Chiefs and the Lions.
No, he's got Lions Bills.
Oh, that's fine.
And
too.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And then he's got Lions Chiefs third. You know what he has second? Vikings Bills, which he's putting that there because you have no Super Bowl wins.
Sure.
For either side. First they're both 0-4 in the Super Bowl.
Unfortunately, the Sam Darnold thing.
I don't want to see that.
I don't either. The Josh Allen Bills thing. I've said, I'm all in on the Motor City Kitties. Go Dan Campbell. If it can't be my Detroit Lions, then I would like it to be my Buffalo Bills. One, I think the Bills are a very likable team. I think Sean McDermott for years has been crapped on. I love the fact that everyone wrote them off at the start of this year. At the beginning of the year, people thought Buffalo may not make the postseason. It was going to be the Jets and the Dolphins. Yeah, how'd that work out? And, you know, how are they going to do without Stephon Diggs? It turns out they're fine.
That's like horseradish.
And the idea that Buffalo, which is a great sports city, their hockey team stinks and has never won anything. They had the longest playoff drought of any team in any sport a while back with the Sabres. And the Bills, having lost not one, not two, not three, four Super Bowls in a row, that would be... And it's the Bills Mafia and breaking tables at the Super Bowl. Let's go. I mean, that's a great story. I mean, that damn near rivals Detroit as far as just a city that needs a win. That's why if you gave me Lions Bills, hands down, that would be my personal one. And whoever wins, I would be ecstatic with.
Well, I don't want to see the Chiefs back in there.
No, I just the idea.
I like him, but
the only thing I've thought about Kansas City is you want to talk about star power as far as best matchups go, like with the TV execs. You got the damn Kelce and Taylor Swift thing. You got Mahomes. You got Andy Reid, and more importantly, you got the team for the first time trying to get three in a row, which no one's done. It would be a massive thing.
All right. Well, anyway, that's not the poll question. No. All of that to say, I punted on that. The poll question today on X at 1080 The Fan is, now that the Lions are good, which NFL franchise is the biggest joke?
Oh.
Browns, Jets, Giants, Raiders. And I thought long and hard about putting the Bears on there, but then I didn't.
Yeah.
They are who we thought they were.
Boy, that's pretty good.
It's got to be the Browns, doesn't it?
I mean.
Come on.
Being a man of increase.
The Browns have been in the postseason recently. The Browns have a good roster, but they...
So do the Jets.
The Jets actually, I think, have the longest playoff drought of any team in the NFL. I gotta...
Relax.
I'm gonna double check on this, but I believe that the Jets... Yeah. So here, right... Active.
And they have Aaron Rodgers.
The Jets have... You care to guess? By the way, the second most is 7 years.
Well, they haven't been to the playoffs since maybe Mark Sanchez.
Yes.
Rex Ryan. And that probably was... God, when was that? That would have been 2010?
Yeah, 14 years.
Is that right? 2010?
Yeah, 2011.
14 years. Wow.
And so I believe this is 15 now that they haven't made it.
But the Browns, you know, like, just when you think they're... Like, the Lions are out of the doldrums.
Yeah.
The Browns are even worse because they suck, just as bad as the Lions. Can't find a quarterback. For years and years and years. Decades.
Yeah, they won a playoff game with Baker, though.
And then... They make you think they've got it turned around, and then they sign like the richest quarterback deal in history, and look at what has happened.
Yeah, it's an abomination.
That's another level of suck.
If you're asking me the worst, biggest joke, I would say to me it's a toss-up between the Jets, and I do think the Raiders belong in this category as well. One, they're poor. Their owner is not flush with cash. Moved to Vegas to try to resuscitate something. It's been an absolute disaster. And you look at everything from Gruden to Antonio Brown to now Pierce, right? They send Pierce out to do the press conference in that stupid Raiders starter jacket, and they fire his ass the very next day. Now you have no, like, you're leaning on Tom Brady. I mean, the Raiders are objectively an awful, awful franchise. I mean, it's an absolute joke.
Well, I feel like they all are.
Yeah, I mean, every one of those is bad, but bad for different reasons. But when you hear about the stuff about the Jets, I mean, my God, man. I mean, it's that to me, like, and if even half of the stories that get leaked out about the way Woody Johnson runs that team and how he listens to newspapers and his kid and all that crap, If even half of that stuff is true, that's the biggest joke of an organization.
Putting the kibosh on trades because of Madden ratings?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's really, really bad. And the fact that they're considering Rex Ryan again. I mean,
yeah. Hey, he's the best man for the job. Just ask him.
You know who the favorite is? Well, actually, we'll get into that next. I want to get into the coaching carousel.
Yeah. Because we added one more.
Touched on it. The Raiders fired Antonio Pierce today. Yeah. So there's your poll question right there. Now that the Lions are good, which NFL franchise is the biggest joke? Browns, Jets, Giants, Raiders. Vote hard on X at 1080 The Fan. Yes, the coaching carousel still spinning. Next, here's Buck.
What an exciting time.
Well, in between Buck trying to get me to care about this golf league that's starting tonight, which I don't care about.
Why is he pushing that so much?
I'm not trying to. I thought it's interesting that they're trying to do anything to get anyone's interest, and I thought golf fans would be the first people interested, so I thought Rob might be interested.
Not interested.
I'm not trying to push it.
It feels like you're trying
to. I think
to push
it's an agenda. Are you being paid?
No.
I wish. I mean, I'm open for business.
Or do you just want someone to gamble with you on it?
No, I don't have any wagers on it, nor will I.
It's Tiger Woods League?
It's the Tiger Woods like golf inside simulator league. They're playing it in SoFi Stadium, I think.
Yeah, and there's like Xander Schauffele is playing. And
yeah, they brought in real grass, real sand from the Masters. So that makes it awesome.
Because now I have to tune in.
But it's a virtual thing.
Real golf balls on grass, real swings, and then they go into the simulator and then it tracks it. So, but they have greens that move too, apparently.
What?
It sounds so stupid. Like, yeah, look,
well, at
I
6
love
o'clock,
golf.
We'll find out, won't we?
No, we won't, because I'm not going to watch it.
Well, I might.
Where it's, what's it on?
ESPN, I think.
Huh? ESPN's carrying that?
I'm pretty sure.
The one I saw today said that it was golf, but reimagined.
Ooh, see? And it's going to be like in front of people, so it's like,
come on.
This is going to be so dumb.
Give me the Sony Open all day long.
Well, the Sony Open can't play at 6 p.m.
All right. God, why are you getting so mad?
But what I don't understand is the renderings that I see is that they're hitting into a simulator, but then behind them there's like a bunker and a green and like sand.
So if your ball were to land there in the simulator, then you need to play your next shot from there.
But you're not hitting back into, then you're hitting onto a real green?
Yeah, but he's saying, like, if you hit into a bunker on the simulator, you now have to go back to the bunker and hit your ball from there in the simulator. Does that make sense? In other words, they have to have different shots that you have to hit in the simulator. You can't just all hit the same shot from the same spot in the simulator, like you and I do.
This is going to be very...
Like us plebs.
I don't know. This thing.
Like putting in the simulators is...
It's probably dumb, but I'm always interested when they try something new.
Yeah, well, Tiger's behind it, and I love me some Tiger, but...
Well,
I still don't care.
I can't begin to tell you how little I care about meaningless early season golf.
Sony like, Open starts Thursday.
Oh, my God. I would rather watch school volleyball.
Didn't you and I play Wailea?
Yeah, we did when we did the All About Hawaii. Dude, that course kicked me right in the you-know-what.
Yeah.
The thing was tough.
Good golf course.
And I think I would rather go watch like a high school local event than sit and watch virtual golf. I just...
Yeah, we're not going to be watching. So
you want me to go sit in SoFi and watch someone hit into a simulator?
No.
Just, it's a new thing that's going to be on TV Buck, tonight.
It
might be
let it go.
I think Buck is being paid. Supposedly, they're paying people to sit in seats so it doesn't look empty.
Yeah, like up to $200 apparently.
I think they've gone around to producers and they're like, all right. I think Buck's getting paid like $75.
Because we're
you can
expensive.
Pay me a couple bucks to shut up about it.
Oh. Maybe I will.
I think I have $11 if I never hear about this again in my wallet currently.
Anyway, the Raiders fired Antonio Pierce today.
Yes, a day gold after jacket, making him go up and have his press conference, which that would, if I'm Antonio Pierce, that's the thing that would piss me
off.
Well,
he said yesterday, didn't he say, I feel like I'm not going anywhere?
Yeah. Sorry.
Wrong.
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 Wrong. Just, this is why organizations just get bad reputations.
Yeah, like, how do they not?
You know you're going to fire him.
Yeah.
Don't make him go up there and do, like, if you fire me, you fire me before I come into work. Don't make me come and do a show and then wait for me on the, outside.
Everybody's asking today, is Suk going to get fired? And Suk's on the air. He's like, I don't think so. I haven't heard anything. Yeah. Next day, fired.
Fired. It's just
that
such,
is bad look.
It's just Bush League stuff. And it's what the Raiders have going on. But I love that the Raiders, like ace in the hole. Everyone is like, Tom Brady may be involved in the decision. What? What has Tom Brady ever done to lead you to believe that he's going to be great at picking a coach? What?
Well, he won a lot of Super Bowls.
Okay. Do you know how many ex-players are?
I mean, that's one thing. You asked.
Horrible coaches?
Well, but that doesn't mean he... What? That doesn't matter. I'm saying you ask, what has Tom Brady ever done? Well, he's won like 18 rings.
Yes. So
he might know a thing or two about football. Look, I'm not saying he's the guy to hire the coach, but he's better than Mark Davis.
So I just love that's what the Raiders are leaning on is a small minority owner who's also broadcasting may have a say in this. And Raider fans are like, well, Tom Brady's involved. What could possibly go wrong? Oh, cool.
Everything Tom Brady touches turns to gold.
Not his broadcasting career. He sucks.
I don't think he sucks. He's getting better.
No.
I think he's pretty good.
He's bad.
What do you think, Buck?
I think that, have you heard the most recent soundbite where you forgot what teams were playing? Which ones were? Uh-oh. Hold on. Let me pull this up. He's not great.
You don't like
and
him?
I haven't listened to enough to say whether or not he's getting better. I'm mostly a red zone with the sound off person, so I can't really speak to it. But let me get this clip.
No.
Wait, are we?
Oh, we wait.
Hold on.
Yeah, I didn't know whether we were. Do we keep going or just?
Just go, more yeah. Tiger Woods Golf League talk.
Okay. Continue as you were.
I have seen this, or I guess I've heard this clip of what he's speaking of.
And well, now I can't find it, of course.
I just, having listened to Tom Brady a handful of times, specifically to listen to Tom Brady.
An Odyssey station.
He would not have that job if his name was not Tom Brady. It's ridiculous that they got rid of Greg Olson, who's really good at that. And I like Tom Brady, but he just is not a good broadcaster. Much like Magic Johnson, who's the greatest point guard of all time, was a horrid broadcaster.
Yeah, see, I think he's way better than Magic
Johnson. And Michael Jordan, last time I checked, arguably the greatest athlete of all time, horrible front office, GM, and owner. One of the worst.
Yeah.
Which is my point about the Tom Brady thing. We have no idea whether or not Tom Brady will be any good at this. He's half-assing it because he's got his hand in like 9 different pots. And so we'll see. I just think it's kind of adorable that Raider fan thinks that having Tom Brady's name attached to your organization is somehow going to make everything okay.
The Raiders, I was looking back at their coaching history today.
Mm-hmm.
They've had 14 head coaches in the last 25 years.
It's not good.
That's a lot, yeah.
Yeah, I know. How many of the...
how many have had a winning record?
Well, I do remember when, I believe it was Hugh...
Wrong.
No. I'm saying when Hugh Jackson finished 500, he was very proud because it was the first time in a while that they didn't have a losing record, and then they fired him right after that.
Obviously a tie, you know, a tie.
He is not one of them.
No, I'm saying he went 500. So I'm trying to think of who their coach is.
Two of the last 25 years.
So you had what?
One's obvious.
So you had Gruden wasn't 500.
Yeah, he was.
He was?
Yeah. The first time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well.
That's within the last 25 years.
Okay. Sorry, I was thinking of.
But actually, he was 500 the second time, too. I think he was just less so. Mm-hmm. But John Gruden won with the Raiders both times.
Okay.
So he's won. There's one other guy.
There's one other guy
that had a winning record in the last 25 years. One out of 14. The great Rich Bisaccia. I'm not even kidding.
Rich Bisaccia.
Those are the two.
Really?
So you have failures, you know, like Lane Kiffin, mm-hmm. Josh McDaniels, Jack Del Rio, Hugh Jackson, Art Shell the second time, Tony Sperano, Tom Cable, Dennis Allen, Joe Bugle, Bill Callahan. He didn't even have a winning record. He went to the Super Bowl. He didn't have a winning record.
Yeah.
Not that year, but I mean overall.
Yeah.
So you have to go back to Tom Flores, who was right after Madden. Mm. And, of course, Madden was greatness.
Didn't Art Shell do all right there?
You have to go back to Tom Flores and say that the Raiders, since him, have had two good coaches.
Yeah. Well.
And one of them is John Gruden, and the other is Art Shell.
Oh, well, there you go.
So post-Tom Flores, because Art Shell was there twice, just like Gruden. The second time was it was stupid. But the first time, he was pretty good. So since Tom Flores, which is, you got to go all the way back to 1987, mm-hmm. the not counting Tom Flores, who was a good coach. Mm-hmm. Since Tom Flores, they have had two good head coaches. Two.
So my earlier...
My
earlier suggestion that they absolutely should be in very high consideration for worst franchise, that's spot on.
Two.
And they've had occasional seasons like where they've won, but you know, obviously, you know, Gruden you know, in the Brady tuck, and then Callahan led him to the Super Bowl. But it's just been a piss poor run franchise.
All right, so coming up next, I'll give you the odds, because you know we have to bet.
Yeah.
On who the odds on favorite to be each team's next coach. Mm. I have that.
Interesting.
Is it?
Yeah. The other one too about the Raiders, and this does matter of how wealthy your owner is. It's a sneaky little thing. It's the same thing in baseball, all of that. When you give guaranteed contracts, when you sign out big signing bonuses and you give big guaranteed money that people want, obviously, when you're talking about free agents, you have to put that money in escrow. You have to write that check. It's not like you can give someone $70 million and then that goes like on layaway. When you give someone $70 million guaranteed dollars, you then have to stroke a check for $70 million. Same thing with like luxury tax bills. And so when you have an owner, and Al Davis was not a wealthy man outside of owning the Raiders. And Mark Davis is not a wealthy man outside of owning the Raiders. Although now that he's been in Vegas, his net worth has bumped up, but he's still not flush with cash. So when it comes to handing out, you know, coaches' contracts, when it comes to handing out player salaries, as far as guaranteed deals, they're behind the eight ball versus some of the other owners out there.
That's true, but Woody Johnson's filthy rich.
And he's just a moron.
Exactly. So it's not all about money either.
No.
A lot of these guys just have giant egos.
Yes. But when you add a giant ego and you add in ignorance and you add in that you're not a super wealthy family that's running it, the debt continues to get stacked against you time and time and time again.
All right. More on the coaching carousel next on The Fan. So do you think Brady just doesn't really put the work in?
Well, I don't know.
Because I mean, the guys like Aikman and Collinsworth, I think.
They work hard.
They do. They work harder than you think they do.
And going to those meetings, putting together your show sheets, really digging in, finding narratives and angles to talk about.
And talking to players and coaches. Yes.
Well, half the problem is that Brady can't do a lot of those things because he's not allowed to do it because he's a part owner of the Raiders.
Yeah, that's true.
So he's not allowed in certain meetings, and which, again, just goes to show me that he's half-assing it. And as Ron Swanson once said, don't half-ass two things, whole-ass one thing. Which goes back to the Raiders thing. How much effort is he putting into this? Is he really out there digging around and finding out who the best candidate is? Is he talking to people? Or much like the broadcasting thing, is he just going out there and being like, I'm Tom Brady? So yes, I think when it comes to the broadcasting thing, one, it's harder than you think. I don't know why we all thought Tom Brady was going to be the greatest thing ever. They gave him like $300 million. Whenever I listen to Tom Brady in interviews or whatever, he's not Peyton Manning. He's not the most engaging guy in the world. He's handsome. But no, I just generally didn't understand the fervor around him, and he's not very good at it. I think if you did an honest assessment of all of the color analysts on the national broadcast, and it's the first year guys can get better, but I don't know if he's going to keep doing it. Other than they just
didn't give him like a 10-year deal.
Yeah, but now with this owner thing, I mean, it does complicate it. He's the worst color guy of any of the national broadcasters.
Is he going to see? I think he's getting better, and I think he will continue to get better as long as he works at it. Yeah. Now, if he's not working at it, then that's a different story. But and maybe you're right. Maybe he has too many, other things going on and things preventing him from being good at it. But yeah, I lost my train of thought.
Rats. I had a point. I felt the wheels spinning there, and yeah. I was like, where?
I had a point there. It was such a good sports point, too. Whatever. So the favorites for each opening.
Yeah.
Now, this doesn't mean anything. This is just the odds makers, what they think.
Sure.
The Patriots, the favorite is Mike Vrabel.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that think they got rid of Mayo simply to go back and get Mike.
But they could have gotten Mike last year and not hired
Mayo. That's the part that doesn't add up.
Yeah. They're so stupid.
Well, the only thing you can say about that is it sounded like Robert Kraft all along. This has been his hand-picked guy. And then when you listen to Robert Kraft, did you see any of his press conference?
Who?
Robert Kraft's.
No.
Well, this is the weird part about Robert Kraft. He made this big deal about how he has all this faith in Gerard Mayo and how he's going to be a success and blah, 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 and just he's heartbroken over it. And then he's like, and he says, I put him in a terrible position, but I'm still going to fire him. It's so weird.
Well, maybe it was just a situation where they thought Mayo was the guy, and he always thought Mayo was the guy, and then he saw Mayo as the guy and went, dude, this is not the guy.
Yeah.
And I've got to make a move fast. Maybe, you know, it's possible. Yeah. I mean, sometimes that happens.
I just, it's so weird to listen to someone stand up there and talk about all these nice positive things and about how it's not his fault and blah, blah, blah. And then be like, yeah, we're going to fire him. Even though I gave him the worst roster in the NFL.
It's not very Patriots-like.
It is not.
You know, but Vrabel, if they do upgrade to Vrabel, that's a pretty good move.
Yeah.
If they get him. The Saints, you know the odds-on favorite to get the Saints job is?
Aaron Glenn, maybe?
Joe Brady.
Really?
Remember Joe Brady?
Yeah, passing game coordinator extraordinaire who just...
RPO guru?
Yeah, and yet fell off the map.
I mean, Joe, that, don't call me Tom Brady.
He had that fallout, you know, and Carolina fired him, and was that Matt Rhule that canned him?
Then he went to LSU, or was that LSU?
He was there before, yeah.
And then he went, where is he now, Bills?
I think that's right. I think he's the Bills OC.
Bears, the favorite is Cliff Kingsbury.
I can see that. Kingsbury did talk about this year how he wanted another job, and the job he's done in Washington is spectacular. And Kingsbury wasn't terrible in Arizona.
No.
He had some good starts that never really finished, and now, you know, with everything with Kyler Murray, I think some of that has been lifted off of Kingsbury's shoulders.
Who is Liam Cohen?
He is the offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he's in that God, why can't I think of his name?
The McVay coaching tree?
No, who just from Carolina? The
Canales.
Yeah, Canales. So he was, him and Canales were the one that kind of resurrected Baker, and so
I want to keep that private.
He is a name that you hear popping up on a lot of those. If you can't get Ben Johnson, it's and you want an offensive guy, he's kind of that next in line.
Liam Cohen. He is the favorite to get the Jags job.
Okay, and that would make sense. Again, you're sticking in Florida and you're trying to bring someone that needs to, I'm not going to say fix Trevor Lawrence, but this is a big year coming up for Trevor Lawrence to kind of get back on the right track.
And then the Jets, it's a tie between Vrabel and Jeff Ulbrich.
Come again?
Yeah.
Just keeping Jeff Ulbrich.
Yeah. It's a tie. That's the odds. I'm not saying they're doing that, but that's the odds. Yeah.
Okay. Can we just...
Well, something tells me you don't like Jeff Ulbrich.
What? So you get rid of your defensive head coach.
Robert Saleh, who, by the way, is going to interview for the Jags job.
Okay. So you get rid of Robert Saleh, who's in charge of running the defense.
Little fun fact there.
And you promote Robert Saleh's defensive coordinator in Jeff Ulbrich. And do you know what happened to the Jets defense as soon as Robert Saleh left?
Off a cliff.
And Ulbrich took over. It crashed and burned.
They were like a top five defense across the board in every category with Saleh there, and
what
then just tanked.
On God's green earth has Jeff Ulbrich done overseeing that absolute garbage fire that leads you to believe that he should get that job? And here's the other one. Someone, please. When was the last time? Maybe I'm just missing some people. When was the last time that the interim guy taking over ended up doing
Rich Bisaccia
being the guy? I mean, just stop with the interim. Just,
I mean, he did have a winning season.
One.
Well, then they fired him.
I just want someone to tell me the last time that the interim guy worked.
Rich Bisaccia.
It did not work.
Yes, it did.
No, it didn't. 1 year of like 9 wins is not good.
I think that is good.
We've got to stop with that. Although it's the Jets, and that would be the most...
Let me see.
I'm not sure which is worse, hiring Rex Ryan.
That, he went 7-5, and then they fired him. That's unbelievable.
Rich Bisaccia.
He was winning. Why'd they fire him?
I don't know.
And they didn't even let him finish the season.
He's Rich Bisaccia. I don't know.
Or maybe that was that 7-5 after? Okay, so that, I'm sorry. That's wrong.
Okay.
Because he was the interim.
Yes.
And they didn't hire him.
Okay.
Remember that? So remember there was a big push to get him hired.
Yeah.
And they ended up not, and he moved along. That's right. He was 7-5 as the interim coach.
Okay.
Okay, so when was the last time the interim coach?
Yeah, ended up being a real successful guy. I'll wait. It's just it doesn't
just wait.
Doesn't happen.
I'm thinking
Jimmy Tom Sula.
He wasn't interim though.
He was and then became the guy.
Yeah.
like his,
he was.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like the coach for the last game or two of the previous season. Everyone loved him. The front office loved him.
And that's what happens.
Jim Tom Sula.
You fire your guy and you bring in the cool guy.
You bring in the guy everybody likes, and then he sucks because people like him, but he's not actually good, and then you got to can him.
And it's usually a guy that under no circumstances, none, that you would ever even interview for the job. But because you need someone to steer this rudderless ship, you need someone to give you a Dutch rudder. You're like, I don't know. Promote this guy. And then the players are excited because he's a player's coach and you play hard for him. And then it turns out there's a reason why he was never a head coaching candidate. Remember Antonio Pierce? I think it was Max Crosby that was like, if you don't hire Antonio Pierce, I want out of here. Hey, Max, how did that work out for you?
Yeah, it's always best when the players make the decisions about these things.
I get it.
By the way,
Antonio Pierce is a cool guy, unless you're an Arizona State guy. He's a cool guy, and like you like drinking with him, or he's a cool guy to hang out with when you're running defenses. He shouldn't be an NFL head coach. He was a disaster.
Fun fact, Rich Bisaccia, one of only two coaches to interim coaches to ever take their team to the playoffs.
Oh.
Yes.
Mm. Playoffs?
A full list since 2000 of interim coaches.
I do, too. There's a Reddit thread on this.
Oh wow.
All right,
well, oh, wait, of interim coaches or ones interim. That were ended up being hired? There's a difference. He's asking, aren't you asking when they hired the interim guy permanently?
Yes.
When does that ever work?
Yeah, but I just want to see the list. Is there a good coach?
Leslie Frazier?
Is there a good coach amongst that?
Why'd you gloss over that? He was pretty good, wasn't he?
No, he never really did much of it.
I'm looking for one.
Let me look.
I'm asking. Because every time they hire the interim, I sit up here and I'm like,
Jason
don't.
Garrett?
Really? That's where we have to go to.
I mean, he won some.
We have to go to Jason Garrett.
Can I offer you this?
Please. I'm desperate.
Leslie Frazier was the interim in Minnesota.
Okay.
He then got hired, went 3-13.
Yeah, it's not good.
Followed by 10-6 and a trip to the playoffs.
It's tasty.
Where they lost to the Packers in the wild card game. The very next year, 5-10-1 and fired.
And yet, I'll bet you he's one of the better ones.
I mean, he got him to the playoffs after a 3-13 season.
Playoffs?
What is that? He went 20-30 then.
I know. I'm just, listen, I don't have a lot to work with here. I'm trying.
Yeah. Don't hire the interim guy. Much like this.
Romeo Crennel.
I want to run! Romeo Crennel. Remember when I was talking to the Timbers and the Thorn staff, and I just had one simple piece of advice? Don't sleep with the players.
Ooh.
Just don't. Don't make sexual comments to the players. Don't touch the players. Just don't. This is my same thing with the NFL. Don't hire the interim coach. Don't touch him.
Romeo Crennel.
Don't look at him. Just don't.
Was interim coach for the Chiefs in 2011.
Yeah.
Went 2-1.
Tasty.
They thought, wow, this guy's really good.
Gotta keep this guy.
Next season, 2-14, fired.
Stop. Hiring the interim coach is sleeping with the secretary. Don't do it. Seems like a good idea.
Ooh, I got
Seems
one.
Like a fun idea. It doesn't end up well for you. Hold it on. Just doesn't.
I got another one.
Yeah. Give me one more.
Hold on. I got this.
Give me one more.
I desperately want to throw something in your face, but I
do.
I
want one to be good.
Well, Mike Leslie Tice?
Frazier was good.
Mike Tice.
Mike Singletary.
God. Mike Singletary was the worst coach of all time.
No, he was
yes,
not.
He was
God.
Bad.
You are so hyperbolic.
Bad. Jim Tom Sula is a better coach God. Than Mike Singletary.
Whoa. That is not true.
That is insane.
Mike Singletary's threatening players. He like wants
pulling
to fight
his pants
him.
Down in the locker room, showing his ass.
Mike Singletary 5-4 as interim coach in 2008 for the Niners.
Hired him.
They hired him. He went 8-8, 5-10, fired. Damn it.
Then Tom Sula won that game, the 16th game of that year.
This goes back, by the way, to my player thing, the Tom Brady. Mike Singletary, arguably one of the three greatest linebackers of all time. Playing does not mean. Sean McVay wasn't a good football player. He's a really good head coach.
Ooh.
Right?
One more.
Being successful on the field does not mean that you know what you're doing when it comes to running a team. Unless you're Tom Brady, then you're so handsome and you're fine. The only Tom Brady can't do, apparently, is make his wife happy. Other than that, he's fine.
Well, and do his prep for a broadcast.
That's true.
Tom Cable, 4-8 as interim, They still hired him. He went 5-11 and then 8-8.
And was that before or after he punched somebody out of his own staff?
And punched another coach.
That's why he got fired. Because he was 8-8. He was getting better.
Yeah. And punched a coach in the face.
Yeah, you can't do that.
No, you can't. I had a buddy that played for him and just says, that dude is wild. Like, old, like you want to talk about high T coach? I give you old Tom. Him and Mike Tice would both literally challenge players to fights and thought they could win.
Oops. Doug Marrone.
Oh, Doug. Dougie Doug Doug.
Aha!
Now you got one?
Well, he was... Well, I do. He was 1-1 as interim. Jacksonville hired him in 2017. Mm-hmm. He went 10-6.
That's good.
And made it all the way to the AFC Championship game. In your face, it worked.
That was when they lost to New England, right?
Yeah. I thought... For some reason, I thought
Bortles.
That was...
Wasn't that like the ultra-low scoring?
Yeah, it was Bortles.
For some reason, I always thought that was either Coughlin...
No, he's long gone.
Yeah.
Who was that?
It was Marrone.
Oh, that was Doug Marrone.
That's what I just told you.
Oh, okay.
10-6. So he went 1-1 as interim.
Yep.
10-6. Yep. Went to the AFC title game.
And?
Do we have to keep going?
Yeah, we got to keep going.
5-11, 6-10, 1-15.
1-15?
Yeah, then they fired him. Hey, but you're dismissing.
I am dismissing.
Two quality interim hires.
I am dismissing.
In Leslie Frazier.
Yeah, out of like 30 in the last 25 years.
And Doug Marrone. Hey, listen, I'm not done.
Quality is a really loose. That's
no, you
loose
are done because we have to get.
Yeah, we
okay.
Go.
All right. Yeah. I have, coming up next, I have something very exciting for all of you. And we are titling it the College Football Crack Block.
Let's go.
On the Fan.